The following sermon was preached at Soma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you. Now listen, guys, I am so excited because if you're watching this on Sunday morning, right now on Sunday morning, we have people in the house, in Soma's house, man. Oh, I'm so excited about it. And they are saying, and also with you. Now listen, if you can't be here with us, I hope and pray that you yell that at your home because I can feel it in my soul. I'm so glad that you are joining us online today. If you don't know who I am, my name is Pastor John, and I am so glad that you've joined Soma Community Church online, taking a little bit of time out of your day to come and hook up with us and find out what we're about. Now listen, we're a small church community here in Jefferson City, Missouri, that just serves our neighborhood, serves our local schools, and loves them well. And listen, we are reopening slowly but surely. There are still Rona cases out there, but it's been 12 weeks since we've been together. We want to get back together and see each other. We're taking precautions. Here's what we're going to do. If you go to the links down below in the description, you'll actually find a link out to our blog that explains what you can do. We're doing face masks and other things like that. We're trying to keep it kosher, but if you want to come and join us, you can do that. We're actually beginning a brand new series on the Book of Ruth. Now, let me tell you this. If you're online, then you're actually going to be a week behind us. We're going to record it live here on Sunday morning with everybody in the house, and then you will hear it next Sunday, Sunday here online. So we'll still be doing online, though we're going offline to see each other in person. And when you can make it, we want you to come and come to the house and be here. Also, if you have kids, Soma Kids is over on our YouTube channel. If you're on YouTube, just wait. It'll pop up next. And if you're not on YouTube, go to our description, and it'll pop up in there. We want you to do it. And I say this every week, but I'm going to say it again. Like and subscribe. What we do. Like us on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, and YouTube. Subscribe to what we do because as we put content out there, we want you to be involved with it and we want your kids to be involved in it in the midst of all of this. It has been a long 3 months and we want you to have the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord, whether it be at your house for two or three or scattered. Gathered, or if you're at home, if you're here at the house where two or three are socially distanced, we want you to be a part of that. Now, listen, I want you guys to grab your Bibles. I want you to turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, because we're still online finishing our sermon series on a sermon called Freedom. I actually put that in there just for you guys. Yeah, freedom. Freedom. I want you to know this is the last one and I want you to be a part of it. But I want to talk to you because this is kind of a significant weekend, at least in my life for me. So let me tell you, in August 28th, 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King stood at the steps of the Lincoln Memorial before a crowd around of a quarter million people, some would say. Some would say even more. And that day, he delivered his famous sermon, I Have a Dream. I'm not even going to try to emulate what Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King did. But he concluded the message this way, with these timely words. He said, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty. Oh, my goodness. We are free at last. Sorry, even saying it like that gets my soul. Regardless of who you are, regardless of what difficulties you may encounter along the journey of life, those right there are sweet words. Sweet words to the heart. Free at last. Free at last. Free at last. We can be free from the entanglements of life. And that's what we've talked about for these last few weeks. These entanglements of life that weigh us down. We want to be free. Free from burdens and cares that make our hearts heavy. Oh, to be free. Is there anyone that wants to be free? Like, I wish you were here to shout with me. Is there anyone that wants to be free today? This morning, we're going to talk about what it means to be free. We've talked about freedom. I want to talk about what it means to be free. So far, we've covered we've covered so many different things. We've covered how to be free from guilt, how to be free from anger, how to be free from doubt, how to be free from fear, from worry, from envy, from failure, from lust. We've hit a lot of them. And if you missed them, go back. They're archived. You can watch them. And you may identify with more one or more of these. You may find yourself going, yeah, I'm there. It may be other issues we didn't even talk about. And if you want, comment down below. We may touch those a little bit later. But whatever it is, please know that you can find freedom from these things. John 8, starting in verse 31, is our scripture for the day. We're going to have a lot of scriptures, but this is where I want to seat everything, and I want to read it. It says this. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If I were to have one thought today, if I were to have one thought that I could kind of encapsulate where I'm going for the rest of this message, is this. It's very simple. When you are free, God's passion will become your passion. Let me say it one more again. When you are free, God's passion will become our passion. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for the reality that you are God and that you are good and that we get to get together slowly but surely. Help us to be safe and wise in what we do and how we do it. Help us to continue to bring glory and honor to you, Jesus. Help us to reflect your goodness and mercy all the days of our life. Jesus, help us to be yours. I ask today that you help us to find our freedom from the things that entangle us and tear us down. Whatever would tear us away from you, Father, I ask that we be free of it. And we be free indeed. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, my Redeemer, in whom I find all my strength, take the words from my mouth, send it to the hearts of the saints if they're from you. In your name we pray. And all God's saints would say, amen. Amen. There's so much I want to say, so much freedom I want to do, especially with July 4th coming up. I just want to scream freedom. But as Americans, we talk about freedom, right? Matter of fact, we should know that freedom can only be purchased. Our freedom was purchased by the blood of soldiers in this country, right? Black and white, native soldiers, Asian and Indian. We had all types of soldiers that fought on the battlefields all around the world to keep our freedoms. However, that's only part of the price. We talk about freedom and we go, well, these people fought for your freedom. Yeah, but that's only part of the price. You see, that's only part of the price that has to be paid. If we're going to be free, we must be willing to defend our freedom. Otherwise, it will be taken away from us. You have to defend it. And sometimes you have to defend it in uncomfortable places. Simply believing that you're free isn't enough. Simply wanting to be free isn't enough. To believe Jesus is only the first step in being free. So many of us are entangled in our past because we're like, I'm free. And you're like, yeah, you may be free, but that was just the first step. Jesus shows us that it takes more than just believing in him to be free. Belief is a necessary state, guys. Look at me right here. Belief is a necessary step, but belief is only the first step to be free. Jesus knew that many listening to his teaching had taken the all important first step, which is great. Therefore, he speaks directly to those who put their faith in him. He says this, let me just pop up one verse in verse 30. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. Jesus was talking to those who had believed in him. So he was like, I got it. You guys believe in me. But let's say what he goes next. He goes next. He says, Jesus says to those who believe, which includes us today, many of us that are watching today, that we must believe, but we also have to hold, everybody say hold. Hold to Jesus' teachings. What is Jesus saying? Well, he's saying this. In the message, it says, if you stick with this. Or the New Living Translation says, if you keep obeying my teaching. Or the Good Word says this. If you live by what I say. Or the New King James says, if you abide in my word. Or the King James, I like the King James, the Authorized. It says, if ye continue in my word. It's not enough to simply believe, but you must live out what we believe in our daily lives. Don't make the mistake of just believing in Jesus. Believing the right thing is not good enough. Matter of fact, in Matthew 25, I'll put it up on the screen so you can see it. It says this. Then the king will say to those on the right, come who are blessed by my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, hungry or feed you or thirsty or give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer, truly, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed into eternal life fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. I was naked. You did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison. You did not visit me. Then also they will answer saying, Lord, we did not see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you. Then he will answer them saying, Truly, truly, I say to you, as you did not do to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Jesus shows us two groups separated on the day of final judgment. And believe me, both claim to believe that he is Lord. One group acted upon what they believe and thought of others instead of only themselves. Therefore, they met the needs of Jesus, even when they did not know that they were giving him help. And the other group, but refused to live differently. They continued to only think of themselves. Therefore, they were unwilling to help anyone, that they were only going to reject Jesus by how they chose to live. Too many people believe that freedom means independence, and that's not true. You may be here today and believe that Jesus can set you free, yes, but think that that means you're free to live for yourself. Unfortunately, Jesus has shown us that freedom comes to those who remain in his word. So what does his word say we have to do? Freedom is given to those who learn to live out what he has taught, to abide in Jesus. Those who refuse to move beyond belief only end up in bondage and slavery with sin all over again. It's like a guitar string. I don't play guitar, but I've messed with strings on it. My dad plays bass. And a guitar string can be set free. It can be released from the guitar, and the tension is gone. It is released from the tuning. The tension is absolutely gone. But a guitar string cannot fulfill its purpose when it's independent and free from the guitar itself. You see, that only happens when the string is strung along the neck of the guitar and when it's been stretched to a certain point and tightened till it's taut. So when you hit it, it hits a certain note. Freedom comes not with being separated from everything or everyone for some of y'all. Real freedom comes by joining together in Christ, that when we're set apart like a guitar string, fulfill the purposes of God in our lives. Jesus shows us that real freedom, however, comes only to those who believe and abide in his word. As we continue to believe in Christ and hold to his word, we can be free indeed. But why has Jesus set us free? What good is it to be free if you don't know how to be free? Jesus shows us that when we believe and abide, we are free to be an authentic disciple, free to be acquainted intimately with the truth, free to be free. We're free to be free. You see, we're free to be an authentic disciple. Let me say it that way. Again, it says in John 31, it says, so Jesus said to those who believed in him, right there, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So what does it mean to be one of his disciples? To abide in his word. And in regards to Jesus, we often think of his 12 disciples, right? We think of the 12 disciples that walk out, and that's great. But Jesus is talking to those who have believed in him, is what the scripture just said. So it turns to us. All who believe in Christ then hold to his teaching, show themselves to be an authentic disciple of Jesus Christ. A simple definition of a disciple is to be a follower, a learner, a student of Jesus Christ, to follow the teaching and example of Jesus. Matter of fact, I was reading a Bible dictionary this week because I'm a nerd like that. And the definition of a disciple is one who believes in Christ's doctrine, rests upon his sacrifices, imbibes his spirit, imitates his example. A disciple believes the thing that Jesus taught, has the faith of the death of Jesus to forgive their sin, drinks from the living water that only Jesus can give us, which is the Holy Spirit, and a disciple is filled with the Holy Spirit. They live a transformed life, following Christ's example by the power of the Holy Spirit within them. That's a disciple. That's what we do. Notice how it fits in what has been said, because freedom isn't free. Belief is only the first step, the first half of what you have to do of being a disciple. You believe in Christ's teachings. You have the faith to know that you're forgiven from your sins by his death, burial, and resurrection. You remain in his word. You abide, is what he said, in his word by drinking of the Holy Spirit to be continually filled with the power of the Spirit in order to live a new life following the example of Christ. An authentic disciple, how we follow Christ's example is this. Here, I'll put it up on the screen right down bottom. It says this: whoever abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. What's that scripture saying? It's very simple. if you are one of his disciples, you're going to walk like he walked. When I walked by my daddy as a kid, I used to try to walk like, have the strut like he did, because I wanted to be like my daddy. If you're going to follow the example of Jesus, you follow in his footsteps. You try to match his stride. You try to match his gait. You do everything that he does the same way he does it. And then you need to get to know Jesus. That means you got to read his gospels. If I have talked to you and given you scriptures, it's not because I'm trying to put you off. It's because I know that you don't know Jesus the way you need to. And you're not finding freedom because you don't know him that way. Don't believe the lie that once you start following Jesus' life, it'll be easy and you won't have any problems. I've killed that over and over, and I'm going to keep doing it. Matter of fact, 1 Peter 2 and 21 says this, for to this you have been called, because Christ has also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow him in his footsteps. Second, the Spirit will help you live in alignment with the patterns of Jesus' life. The Holy Spirit will. To learn to listen to the voice of the Spirit directing you to live, how to live each day of your life. But put simply, the Holy Spirit will tell you what is right and what is wrong. Matter of fact, John 16, a little further left, says this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Number three, you can follow the example of other believers, that we need to help each other follow the example that Jesus has given to us. Matter of fact, the scripture says this in 1 Corinthians 11. It says this, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Paul talking to the disciples saying, yo, follow me like I follow Jesus. He goes on and on. He says, listen, when we believe in Christ, we abide in him, holding on to his teaching, we are free to be authentic disciples as an authentic disciples are. But if you're writing notes, then I want you to write this down. You're free to be acquainted intimately with the truth. He says the truth will set you free. Jesus says we will gnosko, know the truth, to know, be known by experience. Guys, it's not that you're just a truth teller. Like, I know people that tell truth and you're like, yo, that was great. But there's like nothing grace filled behind it, right? You see, you're known by the experience there. Jesus is not talking about having great head knowledge about the truth. No, no, that's just superficial. We will know the truth through a personal experience of with the truth. Jesus gives us an intimate interaction with the truth. Intimate interaction. We can handle the truth. We can touch the truth. We can see if it indeed is truth. The knowledge of truth is not extract. It's not abstract. To know truth is to know Jesus. Matter of fact, John goes on in chapter 14, it says this. Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is claiming that he himself is truth. Jesus is the truth. We come personally to know Jesus, not just experientially. No, but we come to know him as the truth. And we know Jesus is truth. We are saved. Matter of fact, in 1 Timothy 2, it says this, God, our Savior, desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, who's the truth? It's Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Again, we're not saved by an abstract knowledge that's out there in the nebulous, in the ether somewhere, of truth. No, no, we are saved when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, who is the truth. We are saved through the knowledge of Christ, that is through the experience of a personal relationship with Jesus, who is the truth. We are not free not only to live as the truth, but we follow the example of Jesus, but has become more and more acquainted with the truth. That's how we become set free. His passion becomes our passion. We're free. As we get to know him, we become freer. Husbands and wives experience this all the time, right? We experience this knowledge of each other as we grow in relationship. This week, my wife and I are going to hit 16 years of marriage, and I've gotten to know her so well, and she knows me way too well. And many times I can just look at my wife. Matter of fact, my kids laugh at this. My oldest, she laughs at it all the time. I'll look at her, and I'll know what's bothering her, or I'll say something. Well, she'll start a sentence, and I'll go, yeah. And my daughter, especially my oldest one, is like, did y'all just have a conversation right now? Did you just have a whole conversation? But we're connected emotionally, so she can feel what I feel, and I can feel what she feels. I know what she's trying to tell me in that moment, so I'm just like, yeah, we're good. We have those discussions. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 2 says this. I want you to read it. Starting in verse 9, it says, but it's written, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, no heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except for the spirit of that man, which is in him. So no one comprehends the thought of God except for the Spirit of God. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit from who, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand all things freely given by God. We are free to be acquainted with Christ, the truth to know him intimately and personally. That's where we get this idea in the language of relationship. The more we come to know Jesus Christ, the more of his thoughts he will reveal by his Spirit. Things hidden to others will be made known because we have been set free to know him. Our heart is no longer consumed with the passions of this world. Our heart's desire is united with Christ. When we believe in Christ and abide in Christ, holding on to Christ in his teaching, we are set free to be authentic disciples. That's how you're free, guys. That's how you get free from all the proclivities we talked about, is you're free to be authentic disciples when you hold and abide to Christ and become intimately acquainted with the truth. And then you are free to be free. You're free to be free. The truth sets you free. You are free. You're no longer slaves to sin and death. Matter of fact, this week was Juneteenth. And here's the fun part about that. It's on January 1st, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, the presidential order that gave slaves in the South their freedom. Now, a couple fun parts about that. One, Lincoln did not like black people. Go look it up. It's really interesting. He actually wanted to send us all back to Africa. That was good. Two, he only freed slaves in the South, which technically weren't a part of America at the time, but he did it anyway. And three, there was still slavery in the North. I always love those facts when it comes to the Emancipation Proclamation. And you see, here's the thing. On the day that he signed it, of January 1st, 1863, not one slave, North or South, was set free. Not one. I know we were taught in school, they were set free. Not one slave. Throughout the South, black people kept working on plantations. The longest happened for 2.5 years all the way down in Galveston, Texas. Freedom did not come into the slaves until after a bloody civil war. It was fought and then. And when they were finally freed, they were able to live as free-ish men. They did not have freedom. God declared that he would set those captive to sin and death free. But freedom did not ultimately come until Jesus died on the cross at Calvary. That's how freedom come. Only after this, after his blood was spilt on our behalf, could we really be set free. And while Christ has secured our freedom, we must choose to receive it. We can choose to continue to live as slaves, or we can believe that by faith that Jesus died in our place and our sins are forgiven and we're finally free to be free. Matter of fact, Romans 6 says this, sin can't tell you how to live. This is the message. I love it. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under the old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. See, we've come full circle here. We are set free to be free because we believe in Jesus and we abide in his word. John 8 says this, John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We are free. Yes, we are free indeed. We are free at last, Martin Luther King. We are free at last in Christ. And thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Jesus has set us free. And to live free from the bondage of sin and death, we are free. Listen, I'm going to say it again. When you're free, God's passion will become your passion. And my passion is to set others free. I want others to be just as free. Jesus came to set us free. Believe in Jesus and put your faith in him today. Don't stop there. Don't stop there. No. Freedom's not free. Believe and abide. Believe and abide. Jesus says, hold. Everybody say, hold it. Hold to my word. Continue to obey my teaching. Stick with it to the end. Live by what Jesus says. Then you will be free. You'll be free to be an authentic disciple of Jesus Christ by following his example. You'll be free to be acquainted with him intimately and know him with truth. You'll experience a personal relationship with Jesus, the truth, and come to know him more and more. You'll be free to no longer live in bondage to sin and death. Yes, you, right here, give me your eyes, you can be free at last. Pray with me. Father God, I thank you so much I thank you that you want to set us free, that you offer us freedom, that you call us to be free in you. Help us to do that. Keep us for you. Change our world in such a way that when we look at you, we see nothing but freedom, joy, for being authentically what you've called us to do. Help us to do it in your precious name. And for your glory, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church, located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.